Thank you, Daryl, and praise team and a few musicians that were up here tonight. Appreciate y'all being here. Brother Don, I liked your verse from Psalm 94. You didn't give us the text, but I was kind of looking at Teresa and Morgan and an angle. They may not remember. That was the verse I put on our refrigerator yesterday. And so, and I shared it with my life group class this morning, Psalm 94, verse 19, that Brother Don, he gave us the passage that he read for us. And that's a great encouragement, kind of think God may be aware of what's going on in details of our life, that God is the one who consoles us like that. So tonight we're going to be in Joshua chapter 1. Our foundations reading has gone very quickly. Most of you know that last Sunday night was Easter Sunday, and so we dismissed because we had Good Friday services, and so kind of got 2 weeks to cover here, and like I tried to do a couple weeks ago, it really won't happen because I'm just choosing one of these passages. You know that the last couple of weeks we've been in Joshua, and we've been in Judges, and then this coming week we'll finish Judges, and we'll go into Ruth, and so that just gives you something to look ahead. Week 14 begins tomorrow, by the way. Some of you are saying, oh no, I'm back on week 8 or 9 or something like that. Well, just kind of get back in the flow of things and get caught up a little bit if you can, but don't give up. Just don't give up. Keep allowing God's word to be a part of your life each and every day. You may have had a very busy week or something distracted you, but I just am a firm believer, even as this passage will remind us again tonight. I've just chosen this very first few verses here. I've entitled this message, Marching Orders. 3 different times in this passage, and then if you actually look back over, you can turn back over into Deuteronomy. I thought it was very interesting. I don't know that this was even one of the assignments in our foundation reading, but if you'll turn over to Deuteronomy 31, just back a little bit from Joshua 1, and Deuteronomy 31, it just simply tells us there that, and the Lord commissioned Joshua, the son of Nun, and he said, be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous, for you shall bring the people of Israel into the land that I swore to give them. I will be with you. Just a little bitty summary verse in Deuteronomy 31. Before he had officially taken over. After that, we see the song of Moses. Then we see Moses' death in Deuteronomy chapter 34. And so when we see this, the message and the point I was making from giving reference to that passage of Scripture is I really see Joshua 1, verses 1 through 9, as being a great encouragement from God to this new leader. God knows how to encourage us better than anyone else on the face of the earth. You know, sometimes and the Bible calls us to encourage one another. And we need to be aware of the ministry of encouragement and how just a word spoken in a timely manner can really impact someone who's really struggling. And God can give us these wonderful opportunities to just speak a nugget of truth into someone's life at times that we might not even realize how significant it might be or what struggle they may be. I know we have a tendency to perhaps be just too preoccupied with other things in life, but if we would pause just a little bit and understand that there are people all around us who are hurting, who are struggling, who need encouragement spoken into their life. And even as I see the encouragement that really God's giving him, it reminds me of one of the passages, the kind of obscure passages over in Samuel where David was being pursued by Saul. And at one point, he got people had been overtaken. Many of their wives had been kidnapped by the enemy. And it says, and David encouraged himself in the Lord. Over in Samuel. David encouraged himself in the Lord. And that's just a reminder to me and you tonight as we look at Joshua and God's encouraging words to Joshua, that when no one else encourages you, God will. When you're discouraged, you need to turn to God first and foremost. The Word of God should carry great weight and significance in our life. And I really believe that so many people are so under-encouraged because the message that he tells him three times, and I read over in Deuteronomy, he just says this to Joshua three times in this passage I'm fixing to read to you. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. What a great word that is for a new leader who God is preparing to do a wonderful thing of leading the nation of Israel into the promised land. So follow along as we'll look in Joshua chapter 1. We'll read verses 1 through 9 as our opening text. And after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, in verse 2, he said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all the people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness of this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, to the land of the Hittites, to the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land I swore to give to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened, and do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for the privilege of just sharing from your word this evening. I pray for preaching grace, and Father, I pray you will penetrate each one of our hearts through the ministry of your Holy Spirit tonight to just make us aware of these wonderful truths in relationship to our own spiritual lives, our own spiritual journey, as you've laid out before us a wonderful spiritual inheritance that you're calling us even tonight to go into that land of promise that you've provided for us in your Son, Jesus Christ. It's in his name we pray. Amen. As we look at this passage, you may remember just a little background. A couple of weeks ago, we were in Deuteronomy chapter 1. We took some of the passage that night also from over in Numbers chapter 13, where Moses had sent the 12 spies in, and the 12 spies, and only two of them had come back with a good report. And, you know, those two spies, they really knew. And by the way, Joshua, you'll recall, was one of those two spies, him and Caleb. And I ended that message. It was entitled Fearless Faith. And I ended that message by saying that fearless faith is a faith that God rewards. And we kind of glanced over and we kind of did a fast forward. I took you over to some of the end chapters in Joshua, and we saw how Caleb had said to Joshua, give me now this mountain that Moses promised to me 40 years earlier. Actually, it had been 45 years earlier. And he was ready to accept his inheritance. And it had been 45 long years for Caleb. And so we're going to fast forward from that incident that happened there at Kadesh Barnea into tonight. And it's been some 40 years here. And so there's been a 40-year span to Joshua chapter 1. And it's almost kind of a flow here from Deuteronomy 34 into Joshua 1. In fact, as we look at this and we see this, but what had kept, and there was only two of the whole nation of adults that were 20 years old and older who entered into the land of promise here. Just Joshua and Caleb. Only two. The rest of them had just spent 40 years wandering around in the wilderness, one funeral after the next, because of their unbelief. And that was the big take home last week, because the sin of unbelief is a subtle sin that will impact your spiritual journey and your spiritual progression as much as anything else in your life. Because sometimes our faith is just dormant, it's just not active, it's just not real. We're not attempting anything for God. We're not praying that God will give us fresh vision and fresh insights to do great ministry for God and to move forward for God. We sometimes let our faith kind of plateau or lie dormant. Sometimes we think, well, you know, I'm just kind of stuck in this rut. Someone has said a rut is nothing but a grave with two ends open. So just think about that. Is your faith dead? Is your faith dormant? The sin of unbelief in this faithless generation has illustrated for us from this Old Testament passage that we've been reading will keep us in the wandering of our spiritual journey, will keep us from moving forward to new and exciting things that God has prepared for us for the advancement of the kingdom of God. And it takes faith. And Joshua was an incredible man of faith, him along with Caleb. And so that moves us to even in chapter 1, where we're going to see as they introduce. And as we see our marching orders, as I've kind of just subtly introduced that to you, the marching orders that God has given us here in Joshua chapter 1, specifically giving to Joshua, but in the principal aspect, he's giving them to all of us as his followers, as his spiritual warriors who are going forward in this life of faith that he's called us to. He's telling us to be strong and courageous. I want to be strong and courageous. I hope you want to be strong and courageous in your spiritual life. I don't want to be a wimpy Christian. I don't know. That's kind of just a simple way of saying that. But you know, there's so many Christians today who just lack spiritual strength and stability. And the least little thing will just blow them off, just their core being, emotionally, mentally, physically, and especially spiritually. And so we see as God lays out these principles for us tonight, number one, as he tells Joshua here, as I'm going to lay out for you, as he conveys these truths to Joshua, and he introduces, I want us to understand that we must accept and have a clear awareness of God's call on our life. Now, first and foremost, that call in our lives is a call into a relationship with God. In the New Testament era, we understand that to be the word that we commonly use is your salvation. And then your sanctification beyond your salvation. Now, God from time to time will lead us in directions and give us specific, special areas of ministry that he calls us to fulfill in our lives. He may be leading you. Maybe you're just kind of flip-flopping around and you really have not got connected in any area of ministry. Maybe you're not even really aware of where your spiritual giftedness is. And so hopefully this message tonight will kind of make you more aware that, God, I really need to be involved in this battle that's going on. I need to be involved in the progression of my faith. I need to understand, God, that you have bigger and better things for me. I don't have to just live this life of mediocrity, of wondering in the wilderness of my own faith, wondering what is it that everybody's getting so excited about. Brother Don's preaching this morning on joy and how there's been a deprivation of joy among many Christians. We can get excited about everything except for spiritual things, it seems. And it's high time that we got our focus and our faith be fresh and we be following Jesus with intensity. And we understand, and this is what God is calling and reminding even Joshua tonight. Now, Joshua had been faithful. But like I said, God's giving Joshua this great big encouragement and this pep talk tonight. And he's trying to remind him and get him excited. And so he's calling Joshua here as this leader of the nation. And he tells him right off the bat in verses 1 and 2, as he's kind of acknowledging God's commissioning and God's call on Joshua's life. He's telling him, he said, first of all, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, and that's a good way to introduce, because even in Joshua's mind, he knew that the nation had lost a great spiritual leader. In fact, God tells us in Deuteronomy 34, if it's open on the way your Bible is broken up and laid open in mine, it's just to the left of where I'm reading. In Deuteronomy 34 and verse 10, he says this of his servant Moses, that there has not arisen a prophet since in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face. Over 50 times in the book of Joshua, Moses is mentioned. And so although Moses was dead, his influence was still living on. He had impacted the next generation, specifically Joshua, who actually the text goes on to tell us at the end of verse 1, the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, and then it gives us this little description. By the way, God said he was Moses' assistant. He experienced a lot of things with Moses. During all the wanderings, during the initial going up. And I look back and I see how that we understand this, that God understood that this would not be an easy task for Joshua. He had this people who were somewhat skeptical at times. They were somewhat flippant at times. They would be here or there or anywhere. And Joshua was now going to be the one who's been handed the reins or the baton, however you want to look at it. And God was saying, it's your day, Joshua, to lead them. You've got to be aware of my call on your life, Joshua. And so God is speaking to Joshua, and we have the insight in this passage, and he's saying this to Joshua, and he says to him, he says, you know, Moses, my servant, is dead. And so he's telling them that. Well, we're told over that Moses was 120 years, and that little nugget of truth comes from Deuteronomy chapter 34. He was 120 years old when he came to the end of his life, and God had called him up on that mountain, and God buried him after he allowed him to look in there, and no one really knew where Moses was buried, and that was probably for a specific reason. But it says in that passage of Scripture that in verse 8 of Deuteronomy 34 that they had wept over the Moses in the plains and they had grieved over his death for 30 days. 30 days. Now they really knew how to lay a man to rest, didn't they? 30 days. Now we want to have a one-night visitation and a one-night service and move on. But this was a spiritual giant. This was a man that had impacted all their lives. And pray to be to God that we would impact other people's lives and we would have a lasting influence on other people's lives. And so he was telling his servant Joshua, Moses' assistant, and he was just reminding him that, yes, Moses is dead. And he's so, you know, sometimes, and I thought about that principle because many times it seems like in our Christian lives we try to embalm the past, which keeps us from moving forward in the future. And so it was time they had rightly and respectfully mourned the passing of their great spiritual leader, but it was time now for them to move forward. They had done that for 30 days, and so God's word to Joshua here is he says, now therefore, arise. Now I like that arise word there in verse 2. He says, arise and go over this Jordan. It's time to get up and get your act together and go forward. You know, when I think about that, it's time to arise. I think that's a word to a lot of people in Christianity today. Because a lot of us have become very dormant and very passive in our spiritual progression. And so God is giving this message to Joshua as the new leader to remind him, you can't stay here just grieving over the loss of Moses. And it may not be the loss of someone in our lives that's holding us back. But it may just be the loss of just the adventure. It may just be the normalcy of your life at this stage of your life or this season of the life or whatever it may be. But you've gotten a little bit distant and you've gotten a little bit cold and you've gotten perhaps a little bit calloused in your journey. And so God's telling you it's time for you to rise up again and for you to look up and you to get ready to go over this Jordan and go over into this new spiritual territory and journey that I have for you. And he wants to remind you of his call on your life, how God has called us. And God, everyone that God calls and leads into the life of his glorious salvation that he provides for us through his son, Jesus Christ, God always equips us. It's beautiful the way God does that. And so he's calling us to arise and to get up and not lie dormant. I thought about this because one of the things that we deal with in men's ministry that I teach the curriculum, many of you have heard of it for a lot of years, and it's still got practical application. We've been doing the men's fraternity, and now they've revised it, and that's the 33 series. And the basic definition of men's fraternity, the biblical definition of manhood, starts out with the premise that if I'm going to be a godly man, I have to reject passivity. I can't just sit around and coast. I've got to reject passivity. The other side to that coin is I have to accept responsibility. And that's true in all of our lives, not just in men's life, but especially in men as God's calling us to be the spiritual leaders. See, it's a lot easier for a man just to come home at night and sit in his recliner and just cruise and just tune everybody out and turn everything else off, and that's just being passive. But it takes a little bit more initiative on our part to engage our family or to engage our children or to engage our co-workers at work. We can all be passive to the ministry that God is calling us to if we just want to. It's real easy to be passive with the busyness of the days that we face. It's really easy just to pull back and not even think about, really, what is this call that God has played? Well, the call, first and foremost, and Jesus said it quite simply, follow me. He said it repetitively to his early disciples, follow me. He said it to Peter at the end. Brother Don preached on Peter on Easter Sunday morning in John chapter 21. And Peter got distracted there at the end, and he said, what about him? And he was talking about John. And Jesus scolded Peter. And he told him one more time, he said, you follow me. Don't worry about other people. You keep your eyes on Jesus Christ. And so God was reminding Joshua of this wonderful truth. Joshua, follow me. Follow me. I don't want you to be passive. I want you to rise. I want you to prepare to go over and cross into this Jordan, because God was telling Joshua here that he knew that he had called him and he was refreshing him and encouraging him. He later in the passage, as we've already alluded to, that comes up repetitively, he's going to tell him to be strong and courageous. But you know, God's call and God's commission on our lives, even as his children, is the thing that can encourage us to pursue the spiritual journey. If everyone else lets you down and there's no clear direction in your life, you can always go back to the time when Jesus saved you. And you can remember how it was. Even Paul, as we look, it was John over in the book of Revelation. He told one of the churches, the seven churches at Asia, the church at Ephesus, he told them, it's time that you need to repent and return to your first love. I don't think Joshua really had this problem, but God was reiterating it regardless at this point. But I think some of us do. I think some of us have a little bit of an identity crisis. I think some of us have gotten so comfortable with the fact that we've been saved and we're just going to coast on into heaven that we've lost sight of what the real ministry and calling on our life really is. Otherwise, I think we'd see a lot more people coming to know Jesus Christ just through our love and our lives and our witness and the progression of faith every day. And so, yes, there's still a journey for us to pursue. And God was reminding Joshua of this, as he would just have a clear awareness of his initial call upon his life. And there were so many things that God had prepared Joshua for. This wasn't some kind of spare of the moment, quick decision. Joshua had been a leader in the making for many, many, many years. And God may have been doing something very significant in your life, preparing you for this specific area of ministry he wants you to be involved in. We can't just continually be pew warmers. We have to get involved in serving the Lord and sharing Jesus Christ. There's a world out here, there's a world right here in Conway that needs to know about Jesus Christ. And we need to come together for this. And so, accept and be aware of God's call on your life. And then secondly, as we'll move on in this passage, I want us also to just understand and believe the promises of God. Because, you know, we talked about fearless faith a couple of weeks ago, and those two passages, really it's just an evolution here into Joshua's life, because he was one of the two that had that fearless faith in Deuteronomy 1, Numbers chapter 13 that we've preached on. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And the rest of this passage is basically just focuses on the emphasis of the word of God and the ministry of the word of God in our life. We used to sing an old gospel song, Standing on the Promises. And that's a great song. And it's a great song that reminds us that we need to be aware of God's promises in our lives. So God's going to give Joshua some promises here. And it's going to make a world of difference. He says to him in verse 3, every place the sole of your foot will tread. He said, I have given you just as I promised Moses. He said, every place here around you, I've given you this, Joshua. That's a promise to you that I'm giving you. He's telling him here in this first passage in verses 3 and 4, I'm giving you this land. This land is your land, Joshua. Go over there and take possession of what I've given you. Amen? Well, God has given us a great spiritual inheritance in his son, Jesus Christ. Tonight, later, you go home and read Ephesians chapter 1 and read how Paul aligns that inheritance out for us and helps us understand that we have a great spiritual inheritance waiting and available to us if we would just go take possession of what Christ Jesus has already given us the title deed to when he went to Calvary's cross. And so he's telling us here, just believe in the promises of God and understand that God's promises are very near and dear to your heart. He goes on in this passage. Verse 4 is basically just a description of the land. I like the way how God details even the geographical region of the land. God is very specific on this. He told Joshua, he said, this whole land, this whole piece of land that I've been telling Moses, that I've been telling you, you've been a part of Moses' ministry, and now you're the one that's going to take them in. All of this land is your land because God is the one who's given it to you. And God's the one who's given us great victory in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And he wants us to inherit these spiritual victories. He don't want us to be struggling the way that we are so often in our lives of faith and our lives of faithfulness as we see this. So promise, I'm giving you the land. And then as you, excuse me, look on down in verse 5, he gives him another promise. He says, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, I will also be with you. You know what he's telling him there? He's not only giving him the promise of the land, he's giving him the promise of the victory. That's a great promise. No man shall be able to stand in front of you. You know, God gives us promises like that. Simple, subtle promises throughout his word. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengtheneth me. God's given us promises of the sweet victory that we have in Jesus Christ. Why are we living such defeated lives when there's so many promises? These are our marching orders. This is what God is calling us to and challenging us to. And I know the devil beats us up. And the devil, a lot of times, doesn't even have to really get overly involved in it. A lot of times, we beat ourselves up. And a lot of times we let the world beat us up. But you know, God is saying, I've got something better for you. I've got a rich spiritual inheritance that's yours in Jesus Christ. Jesus described it very simply in John 10. I've come that you might have life and that you might have it abundantly. What does that abundant life really look like to you? It's not a life of defeat. It's not a life of discouragement. It's not a life of desperation. It's a life of victory that God wants us to have. Too often we're listening to the wrong voices. And so Joshua would have to be in tune with the voice of God first and foremost. Now we kind of covered that one on Fearless Faith 2 weeks ago. When he said, you got to be aware of listening to God's word over man's word. And so the promises that God was giving him, and to believe in these promises, Folks, God honors faith. When God promises you something, you can take it to the bank. There's all sorts of little books that are just little kind of sections of scripture. I've seen them in bookstores here and there. They're neat little nuggets. You could get one of those if you need it for just a convenient little side addition to your Bible. They're called the Promises of God. And you open that up and you think they're going to be just sentences, but basically they're just scripture after scripture after scripture after scripture. It'd be a good thing for you and me as we go through scripture to just take us a little red pencil. That's what I use. A lot cheaper than a yellow highlighter, amen? Just take your little red pencil and start underlining all the promises of God. And then start claiming those promises. And start standing on those promises. Joshua, this land is your land. Joshua, no man shall stand against you. Promise number 3 at the end of verse 5. Joshua, this is so sweet. I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Folks, it doesn't get any sweeter than that. Not only is God calling us to go ahead, He's saying, I'm going to go with you. So God's going to give us victory over the enemy. No man shall stand against you. But God's also saying, not only am I going to give you victory over that, I'm going with you to help you fight the battle. Later, in just a few chapters over, Joshua's going to come face to face with the commander-in-chief, the Lord Jesus himself. And Joshua asks kind of a question, are you for us or the other side? And Jesus just says, no, I'm the commander of the army. Jesus didn't come, as I've heard some pastors refer to that reference before, to choose sides. Jesus came to take over. And it's our privilege and our prerogative to follow him and to understand. He even repeated the fact of his presence at the end of this little nugget of encouragement in verse 9, as I read to you just a minute ago. Do not be frightened, do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Folks, you're never, ever alone. You're never alone. Loneliness is one of the devil's tools. That he destroys many lives with depression and discouragement. They think I'm all alone. If you think you're all alone and you're following that and you're truly a child of God, then you're out of touch with your spiritual inheritance. You're never alone. God is always with you. You need to be aware of his presence in your life, and his presence will manifest into that power that we spoke of, that no man shall stand against you. As we see that and we understand that. And then finally tonight in the marching orders, not only to believe in his word and accept and acknowledge his call on our lives, believe in his promises, but there must be a complete commitment if we're truly going to go forth and win these great battles that God has before us, a complete commitment to the word of God. Not a casual observation, which pretty much describes a lot of our interaction with the Word of God. A casual observation. God is calling us now, and I thought about this. I thought, here's Joshua. Do you know what Joshua had experienced? He had been there on the mountain with Moses. On one occasion, God even allowed Joshua to go up on the mountain with Moses. Joshua had been there, and we're told in one of the texts in Exodus that when Moses would come out of the tent of meeting where he would convene with God, Joshua would stay there in the tent of meeting. Joshua had heard audibly the voice of God along with the rest of the nation. This wasn't some novice that God is giving these life instructions to here in Joshua chapter 1. This was a spiritual, mature man of God who had already fallen deeply in love with God and was committed to the call of God for his life. And even saying that, thinking that we could have just taken for granted that verse 6, 7, and 8 may not have even had to have been included in this passage, God reiterates the importance to Joshua, this Joshua, who had heard the voice of God, his relationship with the Word of God, how essential it was if he was going to be prosperous and have success in this spiritual battle. If that's true for Joshua, how much more true is it for you and me? Jesus quoted oftentimes from the Old Testament scriptures during his public ministry. Jesus was a completion, a fulfillment of the Word of God. And so he tells us, as we see this complete commitment, and let me finish this message tonight by giving you a quick overview of this passage. This is a whole sermon in and of itself. Be strong and courageous in verse 6, for you shall cause these people, this is a repeating of what he's already told them, to inherit the land I swore to give to their fathers. And then in verse 7 and 8, specifically, we get into his relationship with the Word of God. What will your relationship be, Joshua, with the Word of God? Be strong and courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it, from the right hand or the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. Verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, and so you shall be careful to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous. And then only, we should add, will you have good success. This book of the law shall not depart from my mouth. This book of the law shall not depart from my mouth. I shall meditate on your word, O God, day and night. And sometimes I think God must just, and I hate to even try to figure out how God looks down. I know he looks down on us with great mercy and great love, but sometimes I just envision that God just shakes his head at us and says, what in the world do you think you're doing? I've given you my word. You're sitting here flip-flopping around in every direction, and you're neglecting the greatest communication, revelation that mankind has ever known of, ever will know of. And so God says, it shall not depart from your mouth. As I was thinking about that, what are the implications of God's word not departing from my mouth? Well, I think first and foremost, it means that I'm going to at least read it. And then I'm going to speak it. Even as he had told us over, and he told the nation, as the Jewish people today still hold that passage in Deuteronomy 6, when he says, you shall teach them diligently to your children when they lie down and when they rise up and when they sit in their house and when you walk along the way. Man, that's pretty well everything I do throughout every day. And God's word needs to be active and alive and a part of our lives in every way. When we're not actively sharing it, meditating upon it, he gives us this opportunity. You know, there's stages in between that. When I think about reading God's word, now sometimes like in the discipline of preaching. Now you say, well, what's the discipline of preaching? Well, from your spiritual leaders and your pastors and teachers' perspective, it's us faithfully communicating the word of God. From your perspective, it's you faithfully hearing the word of God and focusing on the word of God. And maybe even taking a note now and then on the word of God. Or interacting with it. Our Foundations journaling book kind of gives us the opportunity to do that. If you'll read the very front of Robbie Gallaty's book, he has the little HEAR acronym that he encourages us to use, and not just read it, but start studying it. That's the next step, by the way. When you put a pen or a pencil in your hand and you start taking notes, it takes on a new level of understanding in your life. God could have done it any other way, but then God says you need to meditate on it. A prerequisite for being able to meditate on it is that we would learn to start memorizing it. So no wonder that the book of the law, the word of God, shall not depart from my mouth. It shall be very near and dear to me. And Joshua, by the way, church, tonight, this is how we will find success. Not the success the way the world defines success. That's not the success that God's talking about here. God's talking about the type of success that He offers us that is complete, real, eternal success that'll have fruit for generations to come. And we'll look at Him one day and hopefully hear Him say words like, "Good done, well done, good and faithful servant." That's success. Following Jesus Christ, that's success. And then He says, and two times I've mentioned here, He says, besides just hearing it, reading it, meditating on it, knowing it, He says you need to obey it. Don't turn from it to your left or your right. Obey it. Live it. Don't just be hearers of the Word of God. Be doers of the Word of God, as James would tell us. What a wonderful spiritual challenge for us tonight from the book of Joshua. Be encouraged. Be strong and of good courage. Let God encourage you like nobody else can. Sometime if you show me a Christian, and I like to try to be that Christian as often as I can. Doesn't work all the time. I'm human like everyone else. You show me a Christian who's had a dynamic quiet time with God, and I'm going to show you a Christian who's strong and of good courage. Because they are gaining their strength from the true source of all of our strength, our Lord Jesus Christ, through the ministry of His Word in our lives tonight. I pray tonight that you'll reiterate the marching orders God gave Joshua, and they will take application in your life. And you'll not let the things of the world discourage you, but you'll be strong and of good courage. Let's stand together. Brother Darrell will lead us in just a short time of invitation. Brother Don and I'll be here in the altar to pray with you, encourage you. If there's a decision in your life tonight that God's leading you, we'd love to give you counsel and encourage you in that, as we'll be here in the altar.
Lately, Lord, have we heard Thee calling? Come, follow.